This is James from SurvivalPunk.com.
And this is Couch Potato Mike, thanking you and welcoming you to our very, very special Thanksgiving edition of the Survival Punk Podcast.
Yes, we are. We're not going to do any of the commercials this week. We're not going to do the news. It's going to be It's going to be Thanksgiving special, which, if you don't know, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday.
It's one of my favorite holidays, too.
Awesome. And it's not going to be ruined this year. I won't have to work Black Friday the first time in, like, 8 years.
I know. Up until now, I imagine that Wally World was making you despise Thanksgiving for a while.
You know what? The nail in the coffin was, now that they've started making it sort of Black Thursday, and I had to go into work at 2 o'clock on Thanksgiving last year.
That's a.m., right?
No. In the afternoon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I had to go in at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and work to like, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that's bull crap. That's dinner time.
Yeah, I had to scarf my food down and then, like, run out the house.
Ah, see?
And it ruined it. I was just not in a good mood.
Walmart does not give a crap about your home life or your families. They just care about their profits.
Right. And so I made a blood oath to make that my last Black Friday. And
there you go.
I fulfilled my blood oath.
Absolutely.
So I want to say real quick that I'm thankful for you, my co-host and best friend,
for
helping me now on these mini episodes of this podcast to make it the great show that it is. I'm thankful for all the Survival Punk fans that have helped me to leave corporate world. I'm thankful for Bjorn the cat that doesn't want to come see us, but does want to come see us.
He wants to see you, but I tried to bet.
What are you doing? Let's kick it off, Mike.
All right, I guess I can tell you what I'm thankful for. I am, returning it. I am also thankful for you, the host of this show, who inspired me to get my own show and website going, which we got to do another episode of. I'm thankful for...
You need to schedule and you need to stick with it.
I know.
I will do anything to make... I was trying to figure out all ways to get this Thanksgiving episode out. I'm like, can we go out really early? Do we do really late? Do I Skype you? So yeah, continue with your thankful.
Well, I'm thankful for my family, my wife, and my beautiful kids, all my beautiful kids. I'm thankful that I've got friends coming in from out of town.
Awesome.
Yeah, one of them, one of my friend, Todd, he's written an article that's been on the site.
A fairly well-received article, actually.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful I've got a 4-day weekend coming up.
Nice.
And I'm thankful I remembered to take the bird out of the freezer earlier this year.
I just like got done delivering the bird to my mom's house because tradition I always buy the turkey for Thanksgiving, and this year being that I'm paleo and I wanted to get a better quality bird and not a store bought Frankenbird, I bought a local bird that was grown here in Tennessee, no antibiotics, all organic feed, good happy turkey. It was a little over 18 pounds. It's a big bird. It cost a flipping fortune. This better be the best turkey I've ever eaten. You don't even want to know how much I paid for this turkey. It was a lot. And I warned my mom. I was like, if you mess this turkey up, you go into the retirement home. She was like, well, Ken's cooking it this year. And I was like, okay. So my mom's going to do two turkeys, a deep fried turkey and my, super turkey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to eat both of them. I love to eat fried turkey and organic local huge turkey. Like it came in wrapped in clear plastic, and you can see the bird. I've never seen a bird look that good before.
Really?
Yeah, and it wasn't frozen, so there's no thaw. So this bird's never been frozen. It was probably alive and kicking like a day or two ago.
Wow.
So yeah, fresh. Unlike my friends at the Crooked Tree Farm that were supposed to mail me Sid Delicious, yeah, it cost $200 to mail them. I sent you like two free t-shirts. It's worth it.
Oh, you reminded me. I'm also thankful for one other thing.
What's that?
I am thankful that this year, for the first time ever, after countless invites over to Thanksgiving dinner, wow, I am thankful that you're finally actually going to put in an appearance.
It will be late, but I will be there. probably around 5 or so
that
for the entire rest of the night, and I'll be bringing a new game to play.
Yeah, a new game that I'm actually possibly review that on my show.
Yeah.
It's a game we've been wanting to play for a while, Cards Against Humanity.
We should just play it.
Yeah.
We should just do an episode playing it.
Next episode of Couch Potato Mike Explains It All, we will be playing Cards Against Humanity, because why not?
You need to make a YouTube channel and YouTube the entire thing.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to be doing that. I want to look at those before I leave.
Yeah, well, they're out in my car. I'll show them to you when we go.
Absolutely. But anyway, and you're going to be eating my Frankenbird.
I'm going to be, yeah, it's... Obviously, it's going to be cheat day.
I cook a damn good Frankenbird.
I imagine.
I'm sorry. I cook a really good Frankenbird. I've already got the kite set up in the platform, hoping for thunder that night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you got to cook a Frankenbird the right way.
Let's go right into a little cooking talk. I really want to do an entire show devoted to cooking, because both of us are actually very passionate about cooking.
Mm-hmm.
So we both have a lot to share on that. And now that you've gone paleo, you've been doing some pretty neat experimenting with food.
Oh, absolutely. I actually created a fucking fish version of alambres.
Nice. I love alambres.
They turned out relatively well, too.
Yeah. So your bird cooking methodology, do you do a brine?
No, I actually don't do a brine.
I've always wanted to brine a turkey. From watching Alton Brown, he said brining is like... so instrumental to making a top-notch bird. And I've heard that from other chefs.
I tell you what I do. I tell you, this is, and I'm going to try to do that. And I'm going to try to do this year as well. I find that the bird ends up the best. Now, a lot of people like to inject their birds, and I am among that.
Okay.
I like to get a good orange juice, something like Tropicana, something really tasty orange juice. I mean the good shit. And
we can cuss? You thought you were trying to censor yourself for a second there.
Yeah, I know. but I don't inject it with a meat injector, okay? But you see, the problem with a meat injector, it's got a really large bore, and it deposits a lot in one spot. You know, you get a few spots like that. What I like to do, I like to get just a large bore syringe.
A heroin needle.
Pretty much. I work for a pharmacy, so I have access to these things. I'll have to buy them from them. It's only like 50 cents.
Yeah.
50 cents to a dollar most places you go. And I'll only hold a little bit of orange juice at a time. Now, I recommend whatever orange juice you're going to use, don't be pulling it straight out of the bottle. Pour some in a glass or get a small bottle, because you're going to be injecting raw meat juice. Turkey juice back into the orange juice.
Yeah.
So you don't want to do that Ebola or E. coli or whatever the fuck.
Ebola!
No, but the reason I like to use that, it forces you to have to inject it all over the place in little pockets, therefore spreading the orange juice all throughout the bird. You want to get the breast really good, inject it into the legs, the wings, everything that you're going to eat. Now, another trick I like to do, and I might actually, I've done this two different ways, and I think I'm thinking about double dipping this year.
Oh, yeah?
I pull the skin up on the turkey and put butter under it.
Nice.
Lots and lots, and I'm not talking margarine. I used to get margarine all the time. I have quit buying margarine altogether. It's butter or nothing with me.
Are you going to Kerrygold it?
I might, just for Thanksgiving.
That would be the best.
I'm saying this right now. I'm going to get Kerrygold butter for this turkey. I'm going to lift the skin up, put the butter under there, and when I said double dip, because I've done it two different ways, I've done it that way, and it turned out better, but it also turned out good. Last year, I basically got a cheesecloth and melted a bunch of butter, soaked the cheesecloth in it, and then wrapped the turkey in it.
What an interesting method.
See, now that puts the butter on the outside, but when you really want, but lifting up the skin and shoving the butter up under there, that really gets it all infused through it. That plus that. And I don't like to cook the stuffing actually in the bird.
No,
I don't like doing that. Some people do, not my thing. What I shove in the bird winds up not getting eaten.
The gizzards and shit stuff?
No, I don't shove the gizzards in there or anything. I'll put them in the... I might leave them in for the cooking process, but what I like to do is I like to get some lemons and some oranges and some limes and, like, cut them in quarters and just shove them up in there along with an onion.
Yeah.
I mean, just
quarter flavor, and then you toss
quarter it. Quarter everything, just shove that in the bird, cook everything in there. It's now infusing that bird with that good savory onion and all that citrus. Just coming through, and it best bird I've ever made. I did exactly like that.
I'm getting a side to eat your turkey, actually.
Oh, my dad, who's been eating turkey, you know, his whole life,
and 100 years or more.
Yeah, I mean, man's in his 60s. When he ate the Thanksgiving bird that I cooked for him, he said that that was the best damn white meat he's ever had in his life anywhere.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's hard to... A lot of people, that's the problem, that white meat, it dries out so easily. But when
You don't baste, do you?
No, I baste.
You baste.
I baste some.
I've heard that basting is bad because you're opening the door... And you're leaving it open, and you're not maintaining a good, solid cooking temperature.
I only basted one time, though. I'm not one of these, like, every hour I'm basting. No, I will baste a little bit, like, in that last hour, 1 hour beforehand. Yeah. I will baste the hell out of it then. But after that, I just like to leave that bird sit and just let it do its delicious thing.
You know, it would be a good idea if someone built, like, a radiator-type thing for high temperatures that would do automatic basting within the oven.
That's actually a brilliant idea.
Yeah, if it like constantly was like dripping the drippings onto the turkey without interfering with like the heat transfer.
Oh, yeah, that would solve the problem right there. Oh, and as far as the
Don't take that idea. We're going to market it.
Yeah.
Indiegogo next week, guys.
Copyright, RadTech Enterprises.
Yeah.
I usually like to take the turkey neck and I'll let that cook in there too. Now, some people use it to make the giblet gravy and whatever, you know, along with the... all the innards and everything, all that organ meat that's in there. I usually just throw it to Big Boy.
Yeah, your dog.
I mean, he deserves a good Thanksgiving, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He'll eat the hell out of that thing.
So what do you make your gravy with?
Well, that's the thing. I've only ever made one attempt at actually making the gravy, and it turned out horrible.
Really?
Yeah, I got to work. I did something wrong. It ended up, like, so brown and burnt. Uh-huh. I usually wind up making the gravy separately.
Okay.
But you always want to use the drippings.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to use the drippings. So I'm going to try again to make gravy again this year. Hopefully, it'll turn out a bit better. Oh, my God, the last Thanksgiving that Todd was at my house, he was in charge of one thing. He was making the mashed potatoes. And this is an army dude, okay? Mm-hmm. So he had this sharp-ass German knife brought over from Germany, and he was just peeling and slicing these potatoes beautifully. Went through it like a fucking hot knife through butter.
Right.
And then he put them in the pot and boiled them. And then we were doing something, and he completely forgot about them. And when we eventually went back over to the pot, and we're like, oh, shit, we're boiling potatoes. They had already pre-mashed themselves, which you think, hey, I just saved myself a step. That's the only thing I've ever pulled out of water that tasted burnt.
If they're on the bottom, it'll start to burn and taste disgusting.
Oh, it was disgusting. It was horrible.
Yeah.
I'm also making
Was there any water left after all that boiling, or did it boil off?
Oh, no. A lot of it boiled off. Yeah, there was some water left. That was the problem.
Yeah.
One other thing, and I really hope you'll try some of this, if there's any left, because there's hardly ever any left. I'm thinking about doing two of them this year.
Just save me one.
Huh?
Just save me a piece.
Well, that's the thing. I'm not sure if you'd try it.
It's cheat day. I'm going to try everything.
I'm not sure if you'd try this, though. I make the world's best green bean casserole.
I do hate green beans.
I know.
I will try a piece.
Please do, because I'm serious. I've made the only green bean casserole I've ever seen people like, God, I wish there was more green bean casserole.
I can't tell you the last time I touched green bean casserole.
Oh, no. I've made a few good variations on the dish that I execute and then I elevate. I mean, I am so passionate about it. I love cooking. I do 90% of the cooking in my house. It's just the one time in my life where I'm completely in charge of something.
I would tend to say 99%. I think you lowballed yourself 9%.
Yeah, I probably did, but
I haven't seen your wife cook in about 10 years.
I tell you, there is one area of the Thanksgiving dinner that I will always do the cheap and easy way out on. Because
pies.
What?
Pies.
Well, no, not pies, because I've made pies before.
Oh, okay.
I'm not doing it this year, though. I bought a pumpkin swirl cheesecake.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so we're good.
Save me a piece of that.
So, and I'm going to be making... I'm going to be making pumpkin bread muffins with Cool Whip icing.
I'm going to eat those, Cool too. Whip.
Oh, yeah. No, I love anything pumpkin. This will be the first year I don't actually have a real pumpkin pie. I might still buy a store-bought one.
Yeah.
It's just with everything else I'm doing, I didn't feel like making a pie, but I'm going to be baking muffins, so what the hell.
I'm actually going to be sharing my personal pumpkin pie recipe later on in the episode.
Excellent. I can't wait to hear that.
It actually has the best crust, like, because I made the crust from scratch.
Really?
And it's paleo-friendly, obviously.
Holy
and
shit.
And it is hands down the best crust ever. But I'll continue.
I wish you could make that for the day.
I might.
You might?
I might.
Please.
Wednesday I'll have off, so I may bake two pumpkin pies.
Do that. Please do that.
Yeah.
But now the one place where I always skimp, and it's kind of tradition, but kind of it's also my favorite, is the cranberry sauce.
See, and I thought about actually making a real cranberry sauce this year, because I'm tired of the damn canned gelatinous bullshit.
I love the canned gelatinous bullshit.
You know what? I may make a pumpkin pie and real cranberry sauce.
I could sit there with a can and a spoon, dude.
I think last year I didn't even touch it.
Oh, really?
I'm just tired of you.
No, see, Jello. That's the thing. Maggie, who's Todd's wife.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to have to buy 4 cans of cranberry sauce this year. 2 for everybody else, 1 can for me, and 1 can for her. Because she, you know, me and her are like huge fucking cranberry sauce fans.
Totally going to make it. Yeah.
That would be awesome. I've never actually had real cranberry sauce either.
Me either, and I want to.
The closest I've had was in a Hungry Man dinner.
Yeah. And, well, there's another thing on here I'll talk about later on that I've always wanted to try, and I think I may. Dude, I may end up having to like, hit the store. Tomorrow I'm going to be busy pretty much the entire day working on the tiny house.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wednesday, I don't think I have any plans for Wednesday, so I may do a little pregame cooking for Thanksgiving.
Oh, cool.
So what else are you making? The standard affair?
The standard affair. You know, I'm going to have dinner rolls. We're probably going to make macaroni and cheese, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, good comfort food.
Yeah.
I think I pretty much listed, almost everything. I'm going to have stuffing. Like I said, I love to make the stuffing. I just don't put it in the bird. I don't like doing that. I mean, so I'm going to, I think I actually got 2 boxes of stuffing. It's funny. I'm so fucking hungry right now.
Okay, so I'm going to share a couple recipes, handpicked, that are sort of they're my top paleo Thanksgiving replacement picks. I'm not even going to bother touching the turkey. Unless you batter the damn turkey, which would be an atrocity.
Yeah, well, turkey is virtually paleo anyway.
Right.
I mean, no matter what. I mean, you heard my whole recipe. It's paleo as hell.
Yes. So the first one up is stuffing, grain-free and dairy-free. Let's see.
Now, for this stuffing recipe, you're going to need 3 leeks, the whites only chopped, 5 celery stalks chopped, 2 large cauliflower heads, 1 cup of bone broth, 1 package of giblets from the turkey, 2 tablespoons Himalayan salt, 2 to 3 tablespoons of duck fat.
Oh, my goodness.
And 2 teaspoons. I'm sorry, I've been saying tablespoons. Those are teaspoons.
That's okay.
2 teaspoons of Himalayan salt, 2 to 3 tablespoons of duck fat, and 2 teaspoons the Spice House Bavarian seasoning.
Yes. The process, you want to heat the duck fat on medium heat in a Dutch oven. Add the leeks and sweat for 6 to 8 minutes. Add celery and the broth, spice, and salt. Simmer for another 8 minutes. Chop the giblets and add to the Dutch oven. Saute for 5 to 6 minutes. Shred the cauliflower in a food processor. Make sort of a cauliflower rice, by the way, if you want to do that.
Interesting.
And add to the pot. See, it looks pretty much like little rice granules.
I actually have a food processor now.
Yeah.
It's a little one, but still.
Yeah. Add the additional fat if necessary. Stir well for 6 to 8 minutes to add salt to taste. Turn off the heat and let sit for 15 minutes. It doesn't look like a stuffing, but...
No, it doesn't look like... Honestly,
the ingredients, it seems like it tastes good, though.
It looked like tuna salad.
I one time made... I chopped up pork rinds into, like, the pieces that you would get, like, in stuffing.
Mm-hmm.
Add all this normal stuffing flavors, you know, like sage and all that stuff. and add a little bit of water, butter, salt, pepper, whatever, you know, did it in the oven like you would stovetop or on the stovetop. Dude, that was awesome. It was a little too, the texture was a little off.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you get pork rinds wet, they don't make like a soft. Taste-wise, it was good. Texture was off.
I'm actually going to try something different this year, I've decided, though, with the bird. Other than the ingredients and everything. I have got to look this up, but I am going to pre-carve part of the bird.
Yeah?
I'm cutting the damn legs off it.
Interesting.
Well, you see, I found out something, and this is a problem. The legs of a bird, and a lot of, and I know some of our listeners have had this problem themselves cooking a turkey. The legs get done way before the breasts do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the white meat takes a lot longer to get done, and I've never had good dark meat and good light meat off the same bird. I've had phenomenal light white meat and shitty dark meat. Or I've had great dark meat and really dried out light meat. I mean, it just, for some reason, you just can't do it. And it's a Bobby Flay trick, actually. That's something that he's actually recommended, is cutting the legs off, cooking them with the bird.
Right, and then take it.
And then fucking taking them away from the heat before the rest of the turkey's done.
Interesting.
Definitely going to try that. Now, a lot of people for Thanksgiving I've discovered they won't even deal with the whole bird anymore because, you know, they're selling turkey legs individually and they sell turkey breast individually, which are the two big parts of the bird.
Yeah. I've been having trouble getting stuff to load on my computer recently.
Oh, really?
next one is something that I cook often.
Roasted Brussels sprouts and bacon.
Yes.
That just sounds really great right now.
Yeah, I think I made that over your house one time.
Looks like you're getting this off of Nom Nom Paleo.
Right.
Is your computer all fucked up?
I don't know what is going on.
You look all frozen-ish. At least we're still recording.
Yeah, I'm not thankful for this not working.
Oh.
My basic recipe for Brussels sprouts and bacon is really easy. I dice up the bacon into little sort of squares.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to render it out in a skillet. So use a cast iron skillet. So the thing is, you want to get the bacon to give up as much of the grease as possible.
Right.
And then I take it out of the pan, set it on a paper towel separately. Put in my Brussels sprouts. While you're doing this, you want to preheat your oven to about 400, 350 degrees. so then I put the Brussels sprouts in the skillet, give them a shake real quick, give them a little brown on one side for about a minute or so. Salt, pepper, and then garlic powder.
Mm.
A lot of garlic powder.
Oh, I love that.
Sometimes I'll do some ginger, powdered ginger. Tastes real good with Brussels sprouts. They have good flavor together.
Mm-hmm.
Then I bake them in the oven 15 minutes or so. Because the flavors really come out of the Brussels sprouts when you oven roast them.
Oh my goodness.
I like that good charring in the bacon fat.
Yeah.
Take them out, put them on your plate, garnish with the bacon. That's James's roasted Brussels sprouts.
And you just gave me a brilliant idea.
What's that?
I just added something to my turkey recipe.
What's that?
You know, I'm gonna be pulling up the skin.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be stuffing in the butter.
Are you going to put bacon down there?
I'm going to put bacon fat in there.
Nice.
You know I save my bacon fat. I've got always have a jar of bacon fat in the fridge. And I'm going to be adding that under the skin of the turkey. I just want to see how this turns out. This has got to be, good God, man, your computer.
I don't know what's going on. I restarted earlier.
It acts like it's at my house. But yeah, no, I've got it. No, I've got to do that. Think about that. A good Thanksgiving bird with turkey flavor infusion. Bacon flavor infusion. I thought about trying to make some kind of a bacon weave and cooking that on top of the bird.
Put it over the breast and protect him. So this is cran applesauce. You need...
need to hack that up.
Yeah.
Need 2 12-ounce bags of organic cranberries. 3 large organic apples that have been peeled, a sweet variety, 1/2 cup of water, 1 cinnamon stick, lemon juice, a few squirts from a fresh lemon, and 1/4 cup raw honey.
Right. You need a 3 to 4 quart pot. You need an apron.
If you like this, wait.
Yes, you don't need an apron. Instructions. Pour the cranberries into a strainer. Rinse it in running water. in a 3-quart pot, add the cranberries and 1/2 cup of water and bring to a boil. Reduce the heat and simmer until the berries are soft and mushy. Pour the cooked cranberries back into the strainer with a large pot underneath. With a firm spatula, force the berries through in order to remove the skins. Place the sauce back into the pot and put aside. Chop the apples into small pieces. Squirt the apples with the lemon juice. Add the cinnamon stick to the pot. Pour the apples into the pot with the cranberries and place back on the stove to simmer. Cook and stir this mixture until the apples are very small chunks. This requires a lot of stirring. Wear an apron. Remove from the heat and cool. Remove the cinnamon stick. Add the honey. Be sure to wait until the mixture has cooled before adding raw honey, because you'll cook the honey. To taste, it may take more than 1/4 of a cup. 1/4 cup is usually what I go with things, but more than 1/4 cup may be ideal. Divide to containers. Use within 2 weeks.
Or freeze.
Yeah.
Prep time, 10 minutes. Cook time, 50 minutes. Yields about 3 pints.
Yes. And the internet is not working, and it's annoying me. The last thing I have, and I don't have a recipe for it, is roasted chestnuts. And something I've always... Chestnuts.
Roasted chestnuts.
We're British this week. Roasted chestnuts, governor.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, I've always wanted to have roasted chestnuts, which are actually an endangered species in America because of the chestnut blight, so you can't really find it. But I've seen chestnuts coming back in the stores, and I want to get some chestnuts and roast them to have roasted chestnuts.
This is reminding me of one of my favorite Christmas songs.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire?
No, The 12 Days of Christmas.
By Adam Sandler?
What?
Oh, no.
I don't think a Jewish man should be allowed to make a Christmas song. Because I'm racist.
Have you ever wanted chestnuts? I mean, is that... I mean, because, you know, they just... Growing up, like, I heard the song, you know, and I heard them in old Christmas movies and stuff, but you couldn't find them roasting on in a store.
Fire. Yeah, I've never seen chestnuts.
I think last year I saw them in the store, and I'm going to stop by Wednesday and see if I can find them. Which is the date you guys will be hearing this. And if I do cook anything, I'll be putting pictures on the Survival Punk Facebook page. I'm going to make Couch Potato Mike here an admin so you can do what you hate and post pictures of some of your Thanksgiving food on the Survival Punk Facebook page.
Oh my God, I don't take pictures of food.
But share your beautiful cooking with our wonderful fans.
I tell you what, you can take pictures of my food.
Fine.
No, my wife will take pictures of it. She takes pictures of everything I cook.
I'll make her an admin.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is my... We'll end the show on my paleo pumpkin pie.
Oh, my God.
For the shell, you will need 1 cup of almond flour, 1/2 cup of chopped pecans, a pinch of salt.
Pecans.
1/4 cup of coconut oil melted. 1 tablespoon of vanilla extract.
Now, before we go on, that reminds me, I actually saw liquid coconut oil in the store the other day.
That stuff is good.
That is?
Yeah, I've had that. How
do they keep it in a liquid form?
I'm not sure, but it is very useful for a lot of recipes to have it. You know, unless you keep your apartment 78 degrees or so.
Yeah, I mean, because coconut oil, by nature, is a solid.
At room temperature is solid, yes. Preheat your oven to 350.
Mix all the dry ingredients in a bowl. Next, melt your coconut oil, see what I'm talking about, and add the vanilla extract to it. Pour the wet ingredients into the bowl with the dry ingredients. Mix until combined.
I hate writing that, but that's the only way to phrase that. I mean, mixed until combined, like, it's how do you know when it's combined? But anyway, I digress.
Using your fingers, press the crust into your pie pan.
Dude, look at that. Look at that pie crust right there, man.
It looks like a cookie.
It does look like a cookie. It looks golden brown delicious. What is not good if it's golden brown delicious?
Bake your crust for 12 to 14 minutes or until golden brown.
And delicious.
And set aside to cool.
Pie filling. This is where I diverge. This recipe, the pie crust, comes from the great people that wrote the Paleo Comfort Books. Paleo Comfort Foods book. The pie filling. You need 2 cups of pumpkin puree. You can make it yourself or you can buy it in a big can like I do. 1 tablespoon of butter. 2 large eggs. 1 tablespoon of pumpkin spice, or make your own equivalent. 1 teaspoon of baking soda, 1 teaspoon baking powder, a pinch of salt.
A pinch?
A pinch. 2/3 cup of coconut milk, 1 tablespoon apple cider vinegar, that's how you're going to get your leavening there, and 1/4 cup of honey. Optional, I used about a half of that. Definitely use the 1/4 a cup or even a half a cup. My pumpkin pie came out with a hint of sweetness.
Mm-hmm.
I would say going with a half a cup of honey to get a real sweetness.
Yeah.
Preheat the oven to 400. Add the pumpkin puree, eggs, and butter to a bowl. Mix until fluffy. Another bowl. Combine the salt, baking powder. See how I do the dry and wet ingredients? Incorporate them together?
Yeah.
Alton Spice. Alton Brown. Alton Spice. In another bowl, combine the salt, baking powder, baking soda, and pumpkin pie spice. Add the last two ingredients, the coconut milk and the honey, if you're adding it, mix thoroughly. You could do this without the honey. You would still get a good flavor, but you wouldn't get the sweetness. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I did a little under a fourth a cup. I would suggest either going at the fourth a cup or half a cup. Personal preference from now on.
Pour into your pan with the crust. Bake for 10 minutes at 400 degrees, then reduce the heat to 325 degrees and bake for an additional 30 minutes. It took much longer in the oven to set. It took much longer in my oven to set. Possibly it could have gone longer. I let mine bake at 325 for around 45 minutes. I left it on the oven top to cool for about 20 minutes, and it was still warm, but I needed to cut it to try it and take a picture.
It did not come out so well in one piece.
No, it did not.
From me cutting it while warm to write this article, because this is when I was on nights, and I think I baked it in the morning time before going to bed. I needed to get the picture.
Wait, this is yours?
Yes, this is Sorrel Punk. This is my pumpkin.
I thought you were on somebody else's website.
No. Hence why this webpage is actually loading and working. So it tasted really good, by the way. And the crust was the real king of that pie.
Oh, really?
The crust was killer, dude. I would use that for any pie.
You're going to have to try that.
You're
going to have to.
So that's it. That's a couple paleo recipes I wanted to share. Mike actually gave some amazing tips on making a turkey. And, dude, I'm excited to eat your turkey this year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, so am I. I'm so freaking hungry. But you know what? It's always the best part about a Thanksgiving dinner?
Friends and family.
The friends and family and the leftovers.
And the leftovers. Yeah, I told my mom
that
I'm bringing containers and taking all the leftover turkey with me from my amazing, organic, expensive $130 turkey.
Good God, man!
Yes.
I didn't even spend 30 on mine.
Yes.
Good God.
I'm taking all of that and the carcass to make bone broth out of.
Oh, so
I'm taking everything.
You gotta.
If there's any stuff left in the pan, any drippings that didn't get used for gravy, I'm taking that with me. I'm taking everything.
I gotta try some of that turkey.
I'll bring some over.
Yeah, please bring some.
Yeah.
I've never had a $100+ bird before.
After I ordered it and I realized that they said it was $7.50 a pound for the turkey, I did the quick math and I was like, okay, so they said that the 13-pound turkeys are taken. I'll probably get an 18-pound turkey. And I'm like, $7.50 a pound, 18 pounds, 15 holy times fuck.
That's 15 times 9.
Yeah, I was like, okay, it's going to suck, but...
Oh, my God.
Hold on. This is what I was actually thinking about, and then we'll wrap up and be done, so you can cut out of here. There's no way that a turkey should cost $30. Like, that the fact that you can get a butterball turkey for $30 or less is scary to me.
Really?
Because, I mean, think about it. How much, like, if you had a turkey... Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you raise them to the weight that you have your turkey at, 13 pounds, 14 pounds, whatever you got, right?
Right.
How much money in feed do you think that turkey eats? Is it profitable for you to make a turkey for $13 and sell it?
No, not really.
I mean, because you had chickens before. What did you... Well, I mean, just buying chicken feed is not super expensive, but... It costs more than $13 over the lifespan to raise a turkey to 13 pounds.
Yeah, that's true.
So how are they doing it to make it profitable?
Oh, they're doing it with, like, growth hormones.
They're all kinds, yeah.
They do all sorts of stuff. I mean, it's GMOs, dude.
Oh, yeah, they're feeding your turkey GMO corn, more than likely, to fatten it up and destroy
it. They fatten it up quick. I mean, they basically decrease the amount of time that it gets to full grown.
Right. And, you know, they're not happy turkeys. So I'm hoping... Well, for one thing, I supported a local farmer. I mean, I supported someone local in my community. It was a Tennessee turkey.
Next year, you should try to bag one yourself. I mean, out toward my area,
there's turkeys everywhere. Yeah,
there's wild turkeys everywhere.
I'm either gonna hunt or raise a turkey next year. And for next Christmas, I'm gonna have my own geese. So you want a goose?
I've never had a Christmas goose.
Boy, buy
me a goose. The biggest goose in all of London.
I'll bring you one of my goose, and that'll be a part of your Christmas present.
There is one problem.
And goose is red meat, by the way.
I'll never be able to see your geese.
Why?
I have this thing. I can't eat something if I've seen it moving.
Oh. I'll just tell you I didn't. I mean, because you'll get...
Oh, well,
get
yeah, I already told me you did. It's on the damn podcast.
Oh, yeah. And with that, Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving from the folks over here at the Survival Punk Podcast. This is Couch Potato Mike.
And this is James.
And make sure you fill up good and save plenty of room for turkey salad sandwiches the next day.
Bar organic turkeys to survive.